It Takes Two, Amy Eiler, J.J. Gordon, and on the phone lines with us now, Ian Schur, tech contributor to CBS News. Ian, welcome back to KFGO Radio.
How are you doing?
We got net neutrality in our headlines again. I feel like we haven't talked about this in a while. What's the latest, and are we changing our minds on net neutrality again?
We're always seem to be changing our minds.
Okay.
And part of it is really about the difference in administrations, right? So during the Obama administration, kind of view of the government was that internet access needed to be more open, right? And essentially that when I pay for access to the internet as a consumer, that I should be able to access YouTube or TikTok or a random somebody's blog at the same speeds, regardless of whether or not they pay extra or whatever. And during the Trump administration, the view was that the carriers like Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, Comcast, that they needed ways to make more money. And by essentially having the option to charge more from YouTube, for example, to be able to access customers would be a way to do that. So that's when net neutrality rules were put away. So now, during the Biden administration, we see it once again, April 25th, there's going to be a vote. And it's pretty clear the FCC is going to reestablish the net neutrality rules, which essentially means that when you pay for an internet connection, you have access to the full internet, regardless of whether or not the companies are paying extra to get access to you.
So, Ian, my question here would be, this seems really great for the consumer. Who's pushing back against this?
I mean, the people pushing back are the carriers, right? Because Verizon, T-Mobile, AT&T, Comcast, Spectrum, they don't want to be what are known as dumb pipes, right? They don't want to essentially just be giving us internet. They want to be able to make money on top of that. Right. And they've all tried. Right. They've got some of them have streaming video services. Some of them have tried to do music streaming, all sorts of stuff like that, which is great. But part of the challenge that the government has seen is that, you know, these companies sometimes in an effort to make their videos, you know, the Verizon streaming video, for example, better, they would slow down a competitor. And the government says you can't do that. That's not OK. And that's where a lot of the pushback is happening, is essentially these companies want ways to be able to make more money. And at least when Democratic presidents have been in charge so far, they've said, no, that's not okay.
I don't think that this is going to make any hard feelings with the public. Like, I don't think that this moves the dial
no.
for us, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, what it does is it ensures, right, the argument is that for net neutrality is that it ensures that when you get access to the internet, that you're able to access all the different websites out there without trouble. And, you know, essentially making sure that Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, Comcast, Spectrum, all these companies don't come between you and the websites that you're visiting. So, you know, I think that what would happen is that if the net neutrality rules right now, they're gone, right? There is not, the net neutrality rules are not set in stone. Is that if one of these companies decided to start taking a hard approach against something like YouTube or slowing down Spotify or charging you more to be able to access mm-hmm. Spotify, then people would get upset and they'd say, why hasn't Congress fixed this? And Congress would sit there and be like, well, we tried, but they, you know. So I think that's part of, you know, there hasn't been an extreme situation yet, but there's always concern that it could happen.
Okay, so are some of the idle chit-chat threats sort of, well, gosh, if net neutrality goes through, we'll probably see provider services, the payments for provider services go up. If you've been happy with the rate you've been paying, well, it's going to have to go up because all of this is going into it. I mean, are we seeing the potential for rate hikes because of this? Is this their, you know, their way that these people can pout?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely gesturing toward that, but part of what has kept, for example, during the Obama administration, when rates were not hiked after the net neutrality rules were put in place, is that competition kept them down, right? They couldn't all conspire to raise rates. And so as a result, you know, T-Mobile, for example, kept pushing the prices down, and AT&T and Verizon roughly were kept in the same place. Companies like Mint Mobile and Visible have also popped up that offer much cheaper internet connections for our phones. And so that has been kind of keeping prices down as well. It's always possible they could raise rates, but also they could raise rates even if they want to, right? I mean, they can raise rates at any time. And so, you know, it's also worth noting that when net neutrality was gotten rid of during the Trump administration, it wasn't like rates suddenly fell. Right. So so far, it seems as though it's not impacting consumers directly. It's really about the potential for companies to get in between you and the websites you visit.
Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting. I was going to bring up that point. I was like, it's not like, you know, these rules were unnecessary and all of a sudden we have all of this innovation and we have, you know, we're seeing a decline in price when all of this happened. The other way didn't happen either, right?
No.
So I guess.
Yeah. And in fact, the carriers have started talking about, you know, 5G, right? They sold us a lot about on that, right? And a lot of advertising, and there's a little 5G on most of our phones. Well, now they're starting to talk about 5G advanced or 5.5G or whatever you want to call it. And that, they have said, is one of the best parts about it, they've told their shareholders, is that they expect to be able to make more money from it, which means that they might justify rate hikes by saying, well, you know, now you're getting 5G advanced, so you have to pay more. It's not going to have anything to do with net neutrality.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That is not good news.
Well, it is. I mean, this is the challenge, right, is that especially with something that is a utility that all of us rely upon, right? And pretty much I think we can all argue that life in the modern world, you need an internet connection. Certainly small businesses need it to be able to communicate with customers, to be able to communicate with the companies that supply them, right? I mean, all over the place. You can't even apply to a job these days without a phone. That generally speaking, if it's something that we all need, having us over a barrel and forcing us to pay more is a little rough, right? And that's part of the challenge that exists right now.
You know, Ian, I think back to those first couple of weeks during the pandemic shutdown when nationwide schools decided that they were going to start virtual learning, and there were homes that did not have adequate internet. And, you know, especially if you're going to have three kids streaming all at the same time. And there, you know, that was something that that the government had to act on too, and to say we have to find a way to provide affordable internet service to make sure that education is covered, let alone all of the people now who are working from home, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think it's hard to say that in 4 years things have drastically changed for how we consume internet within our own home.
Yeah.
And to me, that makes this all the more important, because what's to stop an internet service provider who maybe leans more towards one political party or another from getting, you know, free information and being able to research other candidates? It's such a slippery slope. I think about it the same way with electricity. Would you like someone to be able to tell you how much electricity or when to use the electricity in your house?
Or what you can plug into your wall?
Yes.
Right? Whether or not
exactly.
You have to buy a specific toaster? Yes, exactly.
And it sounds ridiculous to say that about the internet, but that's really what we're talking about. You know, net neutrality is something that, not just as a consumer, as someone who pays an internet service provider bill, but as somebody who requires the internet, as you said, every household nowadays needs the internet in one way, shape, or another. I mean, I haven't filed physical taxes in 10 years now. It's all been e-filed. Yeah. And so I find this to be distressing, that we are kind of playing this game of, okay, now, but not later, and then maybe again, and now we're back to this.
Well, and it's going to continue, unfortunately, being distressing, because, you know, as we've discussed many times, Congress doesn't appear to be able to even get its act together to pass a budget half the time. And really, the only way this is going to get solved is if Congress steps in and writes a law that, you know, enshrines net neutrality as a law in the country. Otherwise, it's just a regulation that the Federal Communications Commission has, which, as we have seen, right, between administrations can get be gotten rid of. And so that is a real challenge. And unfortunately, something that Congress has not been able to step up to. And it may be that something extreme has to happen before Congress does anything about it, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. Ian Scher has been with us. Also, there was a WhatsApp outage. Literally knew nothing about it because I don't have WhatsApp. Do you have WhatsApp, Ian?
I do. And most people who especially communicate with people overseas have it because it was incredibly popular as a replacement for text messages, particularly in places like Europe, where, you know, you imagine like texting, you know, back when we used to use SMS, right? Texting between the United States and Mexico, it cost more. And we were like, okay, we don't like that, but we understand. But imagine having to text someone in, you know, between France and Germany and having to pay obscene amounts of money. That's why WhatsApp got really popular. Mm-hmm. And so it is actually used by billions of people. And it had an outage yesterday, which was really tough for a lot of people. Facebook, which owns WhatsApp, has said that they haven't given us any details about the outage. But it seems as though, at least, you know, it appears as though we're not talking about a cybersecurity problem. It appears as though this was a technical issue, which these technical issues do happen.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I didn't realize that WhatsApp was owned by Facebook. I just learned that right at this minute. Mm. Interesting.
So is Instagram and Threads. All three of them. Yep. Yep. Mm.
It's all just like three people, right? That's running all of these things. Ian Scher, tech contributor for CBS News. Thanks for being with us again here on KFGO. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.